You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again. Give Cammy Campbell 60 minutes on a Sunday morning from 11 a.m. and he'll give you the local stories that matter and the opportunity to use the platform to voice your opinion to listeners across the northeast of Scotland. The North Sound 2 Talk-In. It's the talk of the northeast of Scotland. The North Sound 2 Talk-In with Cammy Campbell. Call Aberdeen 40 10 35. This is North Sound 2.
Good morning. Welcome to the North Sound 2 Talk-In. Over the next 60 minutes, we will discuss local stories that matter this week. The dominant one, of course, is the elections. The issues that are important to you as ever, anything can happen before midday. It's your opportunity for you to have your say. All you got to do is give us a call on 01224 401035. John's on the phones. We have the text system, which is 61025. You prefix your text message with Cammy, C-A-M-M-Y, and that'll get through to us, and it's 25p and all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. We can also be emailed in Cammy at northsound2.com, or we're on the Twitter pages and Cammy1035. It's definitely your opportunity to say things. It's your opportunity to get involved. Last week, it was the deer call, and everybody was getting very, very justifiably hit up about the thing, I would suggest, in their eyes. Has anything happened to you this week? Have you been left speechless by something? Have you had a thought about the elections? The turnout seemed to be pretty low. However, we have winners. You always have winners. What's your thoughts on that? If you might have some good news, something you want to celebrate or something you want to share with us, we like some good news in the talking. We're on till 12 or maybe 11, depending which news bulletin we go to at the time. But it's your opportunity to say things. The elections obviously dominated. The votes have been cast, the counting has been done, and the declarations made. Now, Aberdeen City and Aberdeenshire have a new set of councillors for the next five-year term. But the biggest winner was apathy. Many wards registered turnouts of only 30 to 40%, with some as low as the low 20s. Nationally, the SNP won the most seats, and I spoke to the First Minister after his win to get his take.
Well, Cammy, I suppose you're looking upon it this way. We've got more seats, more gains and more votes than any other party. So I reckon we won the election. So if you win the election, you're pretty happy. And so we're pretty happy with that performance right around the country. We didn't win everything we wanted to win. Perhaps you never do. But we won most of the things we were trying to win. And the most important thing is we won more than anybody else did.
There you go, Alex Hammond talking to the talking. But it was Labour who got the biggest number of majority administrations, and particularly holding that key seat, Glasgow. They also got the most number of councillors elected in Aberdeen City, with 17. Now, I caught up with Labour leader Joanne Lamont during her visit to the North East to get her view on their success.
Well, Cammy, there's been fantastic results for Labour in Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire, a huge breakthrough in Aberdeenshire to secure two new candidates, you know, with a very strong message that there are no-go areas for Labour. And in Aberdeen, we have a fantastic team elected whose first commitment will be to the people of Aberdeen to make sure that their concerns are addressed in local government. Their priorities in education and environment will be very important. And I am delighted that the people of Aberdeen have given us their confidence. We will make sure that we will repay that by hard work and an absolute commitment to their priorities.
Now, it could be seen as a return to power for Labour. They haven't controlled the townhouse in 9 years. Their group leader is Councillor Barney Crockett.
Well, I think that, you know, Labour would be very, very pleased. I think that right across Scotland, we've seen people respond to Labour's message. And certainly in the city, I think in particular in the city, that the work that we've done, listening to communities, working with communities, has come home. And we're seeing some excellent candidates elected. Really a different calibre of candidate, I think, from what we've been seeing in administration. And I very much hope that, you know, we can take the city forward and play a role in development of the city, you know, given we'll have to speak to others and, you know, make arrangements to try and do that. I think that we have to work with others and talk with others and see what we can do. I think that we've got the good of the city in our heart, and we have to meet with anybody else that's got that view and try and do the best we can for the city. There's been a lot of highlights. I think seeing a Labour candidate, a very strong local Labour candidate elected in Lower Deeside, must have surprised many, but didn't surprise surprise us. We know that he's done so much work in the community over the years, and also taking a wider perspective to see colleagues in Aberdeenshire elected and seeing a Labour group there is, you know, again an expression of Labour's confidence in the future and how we're trying to work with people and communities to improve the area. I think the City Garden project is there because it exemplified problems in the city, problems about listening to communities, problems about communicating with the city, and I think that you know, it's one small part, but certainly is a part of that sort of breakdown in relationships we've seen, and certainly my commitment is to improving those relationships and working with everybody to, you know, make this city even better and make it a great place for people to live and work in.
The SNP are just two councillors behind with 15. They're hoping to stay in power in the city, and their leader in Aberdeen is Councillor Callum McCabe.
It's been an honour and a privilege to have served the good folk of Kincorth and Lauriston in the last 5 years, and look forward to doing it next term. It's been a strange day. There's been some results that a lot of people wouldn't have expected. The STV system's a difficult one to predict because it's all about transfers, and there's been one or two places where I think we've topped the poll in terms of number of votes cast, but the transfers haven't worked out in our favour.
Now, the SNP were the biggest winners in the Shire with 28 councillors. Now, speaking on Friday at the AECC, Alex Almond, well, you know, he was happy to come out on top in his home patch in Aberdeenshire.
Obviously, yes, yeah, my home area. So, yeah. I mean, I was watching my own ward in Strickland and Central Buchan declared, and the SNP got two in, which is fantastic. You know, gain of one, which. And that makes you feel good, and we've now got a council on every single ward in Aberdeenshire, which is a huge area, right from the Mearns right up to Portsoy, and we've got a council on every ward, and I think it's inconceivable we won't lead the council now, so that's great. Aberdeen City itself, obviously our vote went up and the number of councillors increased, but Labour increased as well. It's going to be difficult to say what the administration is going to be. I hope we stay in administration because we've done a great job, but it's up to the councillors, and they'll, when the dust settles, they'll sit down and see what's what. But some great results across the country to celebrate.
Now, both parties made gains in both regions, mostly at the expense of the Liberal Democrats, who lost more than half their seats nationally and in the Shire and two-thirds in Aberdeen. Veteran independent councillor Sam Cole also lost out in Peterhead South and Cruden. He's been at Aberdeenshire Council since the 1970s.
Well, I'm not elated, as you can imagine. I mean, I've been pounding the pavements for the last 5 weeks and doing my candidates thing. So I did expect a better result. I'll be quite frank about that. But it's the choices the public make, and if they feel that they want to replace you with somebody else, then that's democracy. And if you can't, it's a hard game, and if you can't take a knock, you shouldn't be in it. But there's older heads in mine have fallen today. Sydney Mayor up in Macduff is gone, and so it's almost like an end of an era in some ways. But local government will continue one way or another. It won't be crippled because I'm not there anymore, but I have enjoyed my time serving the public in Croon Bay and Peterhead, and so it's a bit of a disappointment. But I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown about it. I'm not going to develop some sort of neurosis. Life continues, and I'll continue as well.
Labour elected their first councillors in the Shire. Alison Evanson is one of them.
Building on a big, good result we had there last year in the Scottish Parliament elections, and taking that vote forward by listening to the people in North Kincardine and finding out what they want and how all the changes they would like in place, and responding to what people are saying in the community. I took a gamble to do it because I gave up my job to do this because I had faith that yes, there was a Labour vote, and therefore I did it. And yes, I'm very pleased, of course, that it has happened. So it's part of a big picture. We need to remember that it's part of a big picture about how well Labour is doing in these elections across Scotland and the rest of the UK.
Meanwhile, Martin Ford was re-elected in East Gerry, this time as a member of the Greens, the first Green councillor in the region.
Of course, I'm delighted, and I would like to thank everybody who took part in the election, and of course, especially those who voted for me. I've been a councillor for 13 years. It's a great position to have. It's a great privilege to serve my neighbours, the people, the area I live, and the people around where I live. There are a lot of issues that need attention in East Gerry. We badly need to invest in local schools. We have overcrowding in those. I want to see public transport improvements. We're long overdue to have a station opened in Kintore. There's a lot to do, and I look forward to working with local people and colleagues on the council and trying to get as many of those things done as possible.
So there you go. A roundup of the elections. The two things that stand out is, first of all, a big thank you to the news team. They were scuttling around the city and shire while we were away enjoying ourselves. And they did a lot of work in getting that report together for us. I thank you for that. But the thing that bothers me most is the apathy. Many wards registered turnouts of only 30 to 40%, some as low as 20%. Andrew, how are you?
Good morning, Carmi. I'm fine, sir. How are you?
You know, fit and well.
Good man, good man. Have you had a splash of coffee this morning, have you?
Well, I must admit, it's been a long weekend, so there's been a high-octane caffeine intake.
Good luck.
Yes, you see, it's all very well, you know, being jet-setters and going to these awards, but trust me, if you were sitting in my seat looking across the table, you would see the spoils... you would see the spoils of an award ceremony. These
well
young
imagine.
Lads, you know, they go down to London and yes. I leave them there to fly the flag and they just let me down.
As usual, you leave them in charge of the shop for 5 minutes and it's a blooming shambles.
And they think, you know this, they think it's all sweeties.
Oh, it's, well,
no
see,
staying power. No,
none at all, that's the trouble now. They,
bunch
they
of wimps.
A, they talk a good game, Cammy, but there you go. But, no, I think... I sadly was one of the folk on Thursday that wasn't going to vote at all, Cammy. I thought I'd had enough. I thought every day for months...
Andrew, can I stop you there?
Yes, go on.
Why were you not going to vote?
I just had enough. I think I just rebelled within myself a wee bit. And I thought every time, you know, basically I put on the telly or the radio, it's all you get. You see the same old faces in the brochure here that, you know, appear, and one or two new ones at sort of local election.
Who have you got? Who's in your council?
You know something? I couldn't even tell you.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even name one of them, possibly. Ian Tate, former school teacher. That's the only name it springs to mind, and there was a few wannabes jumped on the bandwagon this time. And
yeah.
But I don't even know. I didn't even follow in Grampian news on Friday, Cammy. So I think the bigger picture maybe is the one that most of us focus on, of course. I suppose Westminster is still largely prevalent in the national elections. And I think in one respect, the Aberdeen City thing surprised me, Cammy. I thought, you know, the way the SNP have simply... steamrolled everything in Scotland recently, then I felt it might have been more of the same in Aberdeen. But refreshing change, and I think maybe it's time the folk of Scotland turned round and said, well, this is maybe a bit of a... The SNP are not going to get it all their own way. We're not all sort of singing and dancing independence in Scotland. And personally, I think there's a lot of hard times ahead for all of us, Cammy, and most folks simply want the best deal.
Yeah.
That their councils or their government can give them. And I don't think independence anymore is going to provide that, Cammy. But that's a bigger picture, obviously.
Well, yes, but it is a picture that's emerging. And in some of the press today, we were having a cuppa before we came on, we were watching the day. Some of the economical pundits, they're basically just, you know, Alex Salmond is very buoyant, you know.
Sure.
When we caught up with him, you know, we won. But... No, actually you didn't, because you don't have the seats. You know, you don't have bums in seats, you know?
Yeah.
He's very buoyant, but what they're saying is he's got to be careful now because, you know, the SNP are not going to, they say they're not going to steamroll everything, as you've suggested. I mean, in the city, what is it? We have Labour with 17, SNP 15, Lib Dems with 5, Conservatives 3, Independents 3, okay?
Yeah.
Out in the Shire... The SNP 28, Conservatives 14, Lib Dems 12, Independents 11, Labour 2, Greens 1. Now, you know, it's funny, the city very, very close, and how, I mean, what administration is going to come out of there is anybody's guess, whereas out in the Shire it seems a little bit more, you know, sealed.
Well, you see, the problem is the Shire, I think, for many years was staunch conservative with the farming and the fishing vote coming out here. And that has been a dramatic change over the last, in my lifetime, the last 50 years, I would say.
Yeah.
But the last 30 years. And things have changed. But again, the oil thing may be being prevalent in the northeast. A lot of people have the feeling it's Scotland's oil. And if they vote independence, Cammy, that, as I say, we all, there are many of them, think they're going to be better off and richer. But it just doesn't work that way. We're all long enough in the tooth to know that if this country was going to go independent, it would have done so 30 years ago, I believe, when oil was in its infancy, Cammy, and therefore you would have maybe nowadays had a huge reserve. But you can never look back in life. You can only look at the current and the future, Cammy. And I think this maybe sends a resounding signal that maybe people are not going to just take things for granted, as some of these parties think they will, Cammy.
I'm a bit disappointed that one of the vehicles in the city was Union Terrace Gardens after a referendum came on.
Well, yeah.
I'm also a bit disappointed that we have now reports that, you know, the referendum for independence is coming on. It seems to be referendum. Oh. And, I mean, if we have a referendum, would you not agree, Andrew, that you've got to vote in it? And surely, yeah. I mean, I was at one of the schools and I went in. It's one of those schools, you know, the classic school with a gym.
Yes.
And you walk in the door and there he is, Bertie and Bunty, sitting at the table, bored, senseless.
Yeah.
Because they said the first hour, something like 3 people in.
Yeah.
8 people the second hour, 12 people the third hour. And they were just about 4 hours in. And already they were despondent. And fair enough, they went, you know, they've given up their time and they're doing what they do. But, I mean, the despondency that early on where, oh, it's going to be a low vote. And it was such a low vote. People just don't seem to be interested.
Well, I think as well, maybe a sense of disgust in fairness as well at the way Aberdeen City Council's finances were handled in the past, Cammy, and to end up in such a shambles is the only word I can use to describe the city's debts at one stage. Mm-hmm. You know, in such a wealthy part of Scotland, to have such a shambles as that was frankly disgraceful. And, you know, your council is only as good as the people that are in it, of course. And, you know, they really need now to be focused entirely on their task and know what the hell they're doing, I would say, Cammy, for the sake of the Aberdeen City
Andrew,
people.
Can I ask a couple of things? Now,
yes.
I'll let you into a wee secret, OK?
Sure.
This is us talking politics. The elections, yes. We've not been allowed to talk about it because we are curtailed under our governing body, right?
Yes.
Now, I can tell you, we are talking politics.
Yes.
And we have got very slow phone lines. John, you're in the text. Is there anything coming through the text or
nope.
Is it very slow?
No, nope, slow as well.
It's very slow. Now, last week, time flies with me. Last week, we talked about the deer call.
Yes.
And my hell, buckets of water, it was coming streaming in through the phones.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, maybe that just shows it just... Maybe politics has got to have a makeover, as the Americans call it. Maybe we've got to be maybe better informed. Maybe we've got to be enthused. Maybe our politicians have got to be a little bit more honourable. Maybe our politicians have got to be people we could look up to. I don't know. How do these guys get us to vote?
Well, you see...
And girls, sorry.
You listen to a lot of them on some of the national radio or television stations, and they're just all as dull as dishwater coming. You think, imagine having a dinner party at his or her house. You think, Christ, I'd end up getting absolutely wasted in drink to try and get through the whole miserable experience if they're as dull as that in real life.
I think that was our lot's excuse when they were away.
Good for them.
Any port in a storm.
Yeah, quite right. Come on, I'm not going to go there because that can cover a variety of things,
yeah.
Sammy.
No, you're right. You know,
no, I think you're right. And I think there's a lot of twits in Scottish politics and the full-time ones that you could say Holyrood. And you think, why on earth should I listen to you, mate? You're a former bank manager or a former solicitor. So you think, oh, go and get knotted, you know, you blooming boring old windbag.
Yeah.
And that's probably why a lot of people can't stand it. They'd rather talk about foxes or deer or anything.
Well,
sex
scandals
or whatever.
Do you not think it's maybe closer to the heart?
Well, undoubtedly. And yeah. I think the fact that the Sun newspaper has been revealed as the most read publication in Scotland, there are other newspapers, but that sums it up, really.
That's fair comment, mate. Listen, Andrew, thank you very much. I trust that we won't be seeing you in any of the election manifestos in the future.
Thank God. No, I've got more sense. I'd rather watch paint dry.
Andrew, thanks for filling the talk in.
Pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Call the North Sound 2 Talk-In now on Aberdeen 40 10 35. That's 01224 40 10 35. This is North Sound 2.
Good morning, welcome to Talk-In. Well, the elections are done and dusted, and the one thing that we seem to think about in this studio is the apathy vote has got there. Patrick, you agreeing with us on apathy?
Yeah, I am, actually. Good morning, Cammy.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
There's definitely apathy. You can feel that. Probably some people will say because it wasn't a national vote as well at the same time. It's the first time in 20 years they've had the council elections on its own separately. Mm-hmm. That could be a part of it. But I think apathy, and I think the apathy stems from accountability, personally. I honestly believe that our politicians are not accountable. They tend to get their votes, stay in power for 4 to 5 years, do what they want, and that's where the accountability is, 4 to 5 years. And people are, I think people are absolutely sick of having to wait 4 to 5 years to make people accountable for their actions. That seems to be one of the reasons. A good example would be, say, for example, Union Terrace Gardens. There was a vote taken, it was a referendum, then the council discarded that. Then we had the 85 million or so spent on the new council offices. For some reason, opinions weren't taken into account for that, especially when the council was so far in debt. I think Kate Dean probably paid the price for that, as well as the Union Terrace Gardens. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that seems to affect people's voting views. I personally think that our political system in this country, where party politics are coming down from national governments down into local government, that's why I personally vote independent, because I don't believe that party politics should shade local politics. And it seems to be the case, you get the leaders of the party parties coming forward and saying, vote for my party in your local government. I don't think that that is good politics and good government.
I think that there seems to be that a lot of people who have been part of what you would call the mainstay parties have moved on. For example, I mean, independents in the city, 3, independents in the Shire, 11.
That's right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The Greens, 1. Labour, Lib Dems, Conservative, SNP, yeah, the mainstay parties. But it does seem to be that, you know, even some of the councillors or prospective councillors seem to be sharing that view that they are becoming disillusioned with the party attitude, and they feel that going out as an independent can give them a chance to serve maybe their area in a better way. Would that be
well,
fair?
I think, I personally think that you've got... how can I put it? You've got less allegiances apart from the allegiances to your constituents and to your people. If you are a Labour or a Liberal, Conservative or SNP, your allegiance is firstly to your party. And I think that can shade your views on what you really need to do for the people, the local people that you've been elected to serve. I think that's a problem that we have.
With the greatest respect to councillors, Patrick, and jumping in what you've just said there, if you're a local councillor, you know, the clue is in the title, isn't it? Local.
Of course, yeah.
And I mean, if somebody like Councillor Stewart, Kevin Stewart, he now, you know, he took the step to become a Scottish councillor, you know, by going down to Holyrood. You know, that was a decision he took, and he's now dealing in different matters and you know, in national matters. But I just sometimes wonder if the people feel that local councillors should be just on the local aspect of things. And you alluded to this fact that, you know, national policy seems to trickle down, whereas at local level it might not be appropriate. Maybe that's why we're getting independence.
That's what I think it is. You see, the problem you have is where, like, councillor, this councillor you mentioned, sorry, I forgot his name, who's gone on to national politics.
Yes, Kevin Stewart.
Kevin Stewart, yeah. It just goes to show that some councillors, I'm not saying all, and you know, don't read this one wrong, but I think some councillors are using the local platform to further their own political gains in the long term.
Well,
some councillors.
I think
now,
that...
I can't blame them. Don't get me wrong. I can't blame them.
That could be seen as a mite harsh because, you know, if you're a councillor or if you're going to become an if you're going into politics, you've got to wet your teeth somewhere. You start off in the community councils, you then move on to council, you then move on to local council, you then move on to the national, and then, you know, if you wish or desire, you could end up in Westminster, you could end up in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against that per se. What I'm against is using national politics, or should I say national party politics, as we have the mainstay parties, as a platform. If you want to further your career and go further in politics, there's nothing stops you as an independent to be an independent, a damn good independent councillor, to ask the people for the vote to put you in parliament. There's nothing stops you from doing that. If you're good at what you're doing, you'll get there. The problem we have, as I've said before, is accountability. A lot of these councillors get into office with, like all politicians, they get into office with lots of promises that, in the main, we know they can't keep and they can't stick to. But they get into office, but there's no accountability. I mean, the DfL's a good example. People are against it. The people, the constituents, they're against it. What do they do? They just go ahead with it. It's the same as a Union Terrace Garden. It's the same as anything else. They seem to think that once they're in power, they can do anything they want because they've got 4 years.
But could it not be argued that that is the role? They've been voted in to act on our behalf on matters.
Agree, but certainly not against the public will, because if we have a great number of people against, for example, a call, I mean, OK, it's not a lot of people speaking up. There's a lot of people against it and a lot of people for. But we have a lot of, there's been no debate, there's been no proper discussion. They say that they're planting these trees for every citizen in Aberdeen. That's on one hand. The other hand, it said that it's planted for the Queen's Jubilee. I mean, come on. Let's.
Yes, but
as I said before, you cannot have a house and live in it without furniture. And the furniture I'm referring to will be the deer.
Yeah.
And if they really want to plant these trees, then go the extra mile, spend the extra bit of money, and protect the trees, but don't go killing off the wildlife just to satisfy your own political agendas. Basically, that's basically what it is with the DfL, and it's the same with the Union Terrace Gardens. They seem to be wanting to do things that they want to do. They want to sort of get public opinion to come to their way of thinking instead of just saying, let's have a proper consultation on this. Let's see what the people say, because at the end of the day, it's the people that matter, not the politicians.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. I recall when we were having the discussion last week, because Joe was in last week, head of North Sound News, and as I said, it seemed to be, by the end of the week, it was coming out that this was being done in order to preserve the population of deer, because there was too many deer to survive. So
that's possible.
Yes, but it seems to be, probably as goes to what you're saying about the accountability thing, you know, I mean, what's the story? Give us a story. Right, fine. Because in many cases, a lot of people were coming on and saying, well, hold on, culling is something that has to be done in nature because nature doesn't do it anymore because we don't have wolves roaming the place. Or,
that's right.
And that sort of thing, yeah. But it's really, you know, it's problematic, I feel, because until something has happened, we just seem to go round and round,
that's
don't
right.
we?
Well, I think with everything else, it's all about dialogue and discussion. If the politicians can convince the people that with their experts and with whatever means at their disposal, and they have a lot at their disposal, to convince the people that this is the right thing to do on any matter, and then go ahead with it.
Yeah.
But to
do you necessarily think they have to ask the people, or could they not just take the decisions on behalf of the people?
They have to ask the people in the first instance, but secondly, more importantly, they have to make a case for the decisions that they've taken, and the case has to be, in my opinion, proven. In other words, like you said, a lot of experts came on and said that the culling needs to take place to preserve the deer. Fair enough. Let the people make it so that the people understand that that is the reason for the deer culled and not the council's own personal agendas. The trouble is they don't put that kind of thing forward enough. What they do is they say they're going to do something. Like I said, the Union Terrace Gardens referendum, they held a referendum, then they voided that. For whatever reason they had, they voided it. Maybe only 1,000 people voted, but what the hell? At the end of the day, 1,000 people took the time to go out and vote. Yeah. And those 1,000 people matter as much as the 10,000 that didn't vote, if you see what I mean.
Yes, but
you have to make a case for it.
I understand, yes.
You can't just go ahead and do something and say, I'm in for 4 years, I'm just going to do what I think's best for the people, because then we get this type of apathy coming in. People start saying, well, I'm not voting anymore, because what's the point? People don't listen to me, so, you know.
And
that seems to be the case now.
Any form of election, apathy is the biggest problem. Patrick, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you on the talking.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers now.
Bye.
Raymond Clunes is standing by. We'll come and talk to him after these.
This is the North Sound 2 Talking. Hitting local matters hard. Call Aberdeen 40 10 35. This is North Sound 2.
Last week, Joe was on the talking when we muted the idea about the drug situation, where Aberdeen police have been very successful in dragging in drugs. A couple of emails on that, which we'll go to later. The text service is always available, 61025. Prefix your text message with Cami. It's 25p and all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. You know about these text things. John, you've got a couple there, yeah?
Yeah, a couple interesting ones. Julian Kincorth has been on. Patrick touched about this earlier when he was on. She thinks it's silly that the local government elections are on their own day now. They've always been on the same day as the Scottish parliamentary elections or the Westminster elections. That's obviously changed this time. She thinks that's obviously got something to do with the low turnout.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Mike and Ellen, here's interesting. How do we address the low turnout? You know, it's 2012. Postal, online, phone, it worked for Union Terrace Gardens, right? So.
Yes, I mean, it's funny that the postal vote seems to be a favoured thing nowadays. Now, whether people actually do it,
Well,
maybe they don't, because the turnout's that, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting, though. You could vote online with Union Terrace Gardens as well and phone up. So
you could,
Is that something they can look at now?
And this is the day of the computer.
Yeah, is it all about making it easily accessible?
Yeah, interesting. Just by the way, listeners, the voice you heard actually sounded a lot better than the body I'm looking at. Okay, just so you know. Raymond, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Colin. Yourself?
I'm fine. Now, is your tongue in your cheek, or what are you up to today?
No, I'm quite serious here, Colin.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, it's about the election and such like, right? But I was just thinking, I thought I'd write just in the past few seconds.
Yeah.
Excuse my voice, I'm just like. Yeah, to get people out to vote.
Yes.
Yeah, a good way would be to disconnect all electric and gas and only have electric and gas on at the voting polls. Therefore, you have to go there to watch or listen to anything and cook. And that way you could vote while you're there. But that's too much to do. Oh, you have to get them out of the house, don't you? But as I say, I would just...
You know something? You'll be saying next we should get sheepdogs and just round them up at night and take them into a pen and go back with punches, you know?
I wish I saw that one. Is it a good sex ever?
It is a bit serious, though, isn't it, Raymond?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me personally, right, the first month or so, it's like a Benny Hill show without the comedy.
Yeah.
Because they take it too serious, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter what council we actually get voters in, or we vote for as a voter. Some people don't vote. Okay, but yeah, I just, we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
The council, they get in, right, and they discuss items that is in on the go at the moment. Things that we discuss about it, and then what they normally do is, then they go on holidays, and they come back and have another discussion about it. And then they think, let's have a referendum and we'll ask the people to decide what we've been discussing for the past year. And when it actually happens is the referendum comes, they get it done, and then they turn around and say, Thank you very much, because it looks like we are listening to you. Really, we're not listening to you at all, but it makes it look good, does it? Therefore, we'll just go and do exactly what we're going to do in the first place.
Raymond, I've known you for many years. You are just really... You're not a fan of the referendum aspect of things, are you?
No, because it, to me, it's just... I mean, don't get me wrong. Well, what I did this year... I'll tell you what I did this year.
Go on.
Okay. I was looking at something, right? And I said, right, okay, what I did was... I've got a challenge here. It's like a bet. It's like a gamble. You've got the vote of who you think is going to do something for you.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I looked at the what we call it, the form, the people I was voting for. So I thought, right, here we go. So I voted for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought, no, one of them must come through and help the youth. Because...
The thing amuses me, though, Raymond, on a serious note, you go in and you do your numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, but you can actually cast a vote for every person that sheet of paper, can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Here, Raymond, listen, just before we go, some countries, it's against the law not to vote. Now, should we be doing that?
No, is that a bit extreme, really?
You think so?
I would say so.
Should be a three. Okay, yeah. Raymond.
Just
listen.
One little thing.
Go on.
Right? It's like back in a six-horse race, and you back every one of them.
Yeah.
So every one you got, you must win, do you?
Yes, no.
What happens is, they all fall to the last, and all that you've done, just exactly what the council is going to do now. It doesn't matter who's in it.
Raymond! As always, thank you for your opinion.
Yeah,
talking,
I'll keep on knocking at my window, so
bye bye.
Catch you later.
There you go, Raymond Clunes. And as I keep saying, Raymond usually has his tongue in his cheek, but it does take through the point that, you know, again, it seems to be that the communication and the apathy seems to be the biggest problem, although he's quite keen not to force people to vote. Bill's on the phone. We'll talk to him next.
Cammy Campbell, hitting local matters hard. The North Sound 2 Talk-In. Call Aberdeen 40 10 35. This is North Sound 2.
It's a talk-in. John's on the phones and the other John's on the texts. And it's quite interesting. I'm going to come back to John because John has done a fair bit of travelling and we'll give you a comparison about voting policies in a different country. Bill, how are you? Hello, Bill.
Oh, hello, Cammy.
Are you well?
Oh yes, thank you.
Cuckoo.
I'm doing all right yourself, eh?
Oh, bashing on.
Oh, good.
What's your thoughts on the talk-in, Bill?
No, I'd like to say about Alex Salmond. No. I'd say Alex Salmond is showing double standards over Union Terrace Gardens. Now, in May 2010, only 20 out of 43 councillors voted in favour of the Union Terrace Gardens project.
Mm-hmm.
But Alex Salmond never set out to cancel this project. So why is he now interfering over the Union Terrace Gardens?
Is he interfering?
He's been making comments.
Uh-huh. The thing is, yes, I see what you're saying, yes, but is he interfering or is he just making comments?
Oh, well,
because if people like me ask him a question, I mean, Alex Salmond is one of the politicians where ask him a question and he will answer it.
I was saying in the news today that it shouldn't carry on the project.
Uh-huh.
Aye, so
is that maybe not on the basis that the referendum said yes?
Well, of course, 48% of the public voted against the Gardens project.
Yes.
So this was very near 50-50 split, say.
So, Bill, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, you know something? If you have any form of vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wins, that's the winning vote, isn't it? I appreciate what you're saying, the 48% and the 52%. You know, it was a narrow majority, I know.
But of course, it was that one week councillors when it was only 20 out of 43 councillors.
Uh-huh.
And yet that was only having to vote in favour of the project.
Yes, yes.
So, and I'd like to say as well, this is how Alex Salmond's acting. How could we trust him over independence?
Well.
Because this is just as bad.
Independence is something that he is very passionate about. He firmly believes that that is the way forward. There's lots of people have different opinions, and rightly so. We live in a country where we are allowed to have different opinions, and we are allowed to put them forward. My argument, since I've taken the talk in, is that, my goodness, it seems to take so long to get these opinions over, and it seems to be so protracted, you know?
Well, I think this has been the reason why there's been such a low turnout.
Yes.
Because the councillors just want to do what they wish, and that's what the public want.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill, listen to this. John, it's been a bit of a traveller, OK?
Aye.
Now, when we were in the break, he was telling me about the situation that he saw during election time when he was over in Brazil. John, go and tell him what you were telling me about the way the voting was done and the enthusiasm for it.
Yeah, it was really interesting. We touched down and got off the plane, and we were driving through the city, and we were talking to the taxi driver, and there's big billboards everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Every billboard, every house had a flag hanging out the window, and he was like, oh, it's election time. In fact, how long are you staying? You'll see the big election day next Sunday, and this wasn't the election day when you vote, this was just the big day of campaigning. So you campaign as you do, but then there's this big day when it all comes to a head, and sure enough, we saw it, and it was amazing. There was floats. It was like the torture parade in Aberdeen. You know, there's big lorries, and there was flags, and people running up down the street. It was just so inspiring to see it. It kind of led me to wonder, you know, do we take it for granted a little bit in this country?
But the essence of it is,
well, it is illegal not to vote in Brazil, and it's linked to the Brazilian version of our national insurance number.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So if you don't vote, you lose your benefits. You lose all your rights that you gain from voting, which is interesting. Is that a step too far?
Is that a way? What do you think, Bill? Is that a way too far?
Oh. No, I think we're better just over our own way we've got it. In fact, if voting starts getting too low, they'll have to make it compulsory.
Yes. You think? You see, the only thing is, I mean, if you don't vote, in my opinion, you can't really comment, can you?
Oh no. Well, of course, I think it's a protest, really.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole thing. Because, I mean, over in Lixatoria, you know, it's quite a size area.
Yes.
Only 29% voted there.
I know.
And then same way down at Harbour and George Street was only about 24%.
It's not good, is it?
So this is bad.
No. I tell you, the apathy party, sadly, seem to have taken a stand on this. Definitely. Bill, thanks very much for your opinion on the talk-in. Much appreciated.
Thanks very much, Ian.
Susan,
bye.
How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well indeed. What's your thoughts on the elections?
Well, I'm a Labour supporter, so I would just like to congratulate them. And if I was in, I would just ask for a general election now while they're in. They've already...
Strike when the iron's hot, eh?
Yeah.
So tell me, Susan, what do you think about the difference between local politics and national politics? What do you think about the situation that's been discussed in the talking here about the fact that apathy seems to be the thing that's ruling just now?
Well, they're pleasing themselves with everything. Everything. And nobody's got to say nothing.
Uh-huh.
And no matter if you vote, like the DSCO or Union Terrace Gardens, they're still going to go ahead with it anyway. It's because they're in now. It's because the people, in other words.
So you think, okay, although you support Labour and Labour have got an increased vote across there, but you still think it's not going to be a case of them listening to the people. They're just going to go their own way.
No. I think Labour will listen.
They're going to listen.
And then they're going to make the same mistakes again.
Uh-huh.
And after this mess that this government's made for everybody, Labour will be back in the next election.
You reckon?
Yeah.
We can wait and see.
If Gordon Brown had just stepped down and let somebody else sort it out, they would never have gotten in.
Well, we'll see what happens there,
they're
Susan.
They're already making a worse mess than what everything is.
Well,
there's no jobs that they promised for the young ones, no apprenticeships that they said that they'd get for the young people to get them started out in life, and then they wonder why there's trouble and fine.
It's all to go. Susan, thank you very much for the talk. Listen, you keep in touch because I think this election thing is going to go on. Jim, very quickly, quick point.
Wrong day of the week to have a vote. It should be Sunday.
It should be Sunday, you reckon?
Oh, yeah, because people are at their work, picked up the kids from the school, all the rest of it. The last thing they think about is voting.
OK. So you reckon if we voted on a Sunday, it would be easier?
Yes, I believe that the vote in the first election for the French Prime Minister was over 80%
yes,
on a Sunday.
Yes, indeed. Jim, thank you very much for your comments at Talkin. The Talkin is back next Sunday, where you get the chance to view your opinions on North Sound 2. Good afternoon.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.